Chip Saturday on the show today. A little different show format, something that we have not done before, but we're going to give it a shot today. We're in Cookeville, Tennessee, site of the TSSAA State Football Championships. They've been going on since Thursday. 3 days of championship games, and they all culminate today with the final three contests. And if, of course, you remember, this is always also College Football Championship Day. So we're going to be doing talking a lot about a lot of football day. Tony Barnhart is normally on in this hour. He will move to the 10 o'clock hour. Charles Davis will not be with us today. Why? Well, we'll be talking conference championship games with Tony. Of course, they will determine the four college football playoff teams that will play a little bit later. Six bowl games. Mr. College Football will be with us in that second hour. This hour, we're going to do a little bit something different. A look at the feeder teams, the teams that feed college football, high school football. The final championship games today at Tennessee Tech, as I mentioned, many young men playing in these state championship games will go on and play college rosters all around the country. High school football, the lifeblood of college football. Welcome to Forklift Systems Football Saturday. The show is on the road today. Doesn't happen often, but we're going to spend today talking high school football. We're at the Wilson Bank and Trust location in Cookeville. We'll be talking more about that with John McDearman and some of his folks with Wilson Bank and Trust. Larry Stone, he built the Titans radio to what it is today. Now owns and runs at least four radio stations that cover the Upper Cumberland. Along with Mike Keith, called the McCauley NBA game last night. Host of the ever-popular statewide radio show Coach to Coach. And almost as important, he's a good buddy of mine. Larry, let's talk a little high school football. The entire first hour today dedicated to, as I alluded to in the opening, the lifeblood of college football.
Good to have you in Cookeville.
Good to be here.
You know, this has been such an amazing event for Cookeville to have over the last several years, and has given the chance to, I think, kind of showcase this community and give people a sense of what Cookeville is all about. For too long, Cookeville has been for a restroom break between Knoxville and Nashville, whether you're going to a Titans game or going to a UT game. So it's been a great 2 days so far. The weather has, Thursday's weather may have been the best weather that the TSSAA has ordered up during the course of their visit here. Yesterday, we got away from the rain, and today it looks like we'll do the same for three great games.
I mentioned you did the NBA game yesterday. Of course, that was Thursday, all the private schools playing. Then, you know, when I was at Tennessee for those 10 years, my recruiting area essentially started in Cookeville. I did Cookeville and everything west. Another young guy up there named Coach Philip Fulmer did everything east of there.
So let me ask you. It feels like in the time that I've been in this state that high school football has dramatically improved. Is that the case?
Really has. You could make an argument back probably 1990, probably. I only go back to 1980 as far as covering the state from a recruiting standpoint. There was always good football players in this state, but there weren't a lot of them because there weren't a lot of programs. There were some very good programs and then others that, you know, were just programs. But that has dramatically changed for a lot of reasons. The Middle Tennessee area, as we all know, because of the Titans and the way that has grown, Williamson County, Rutherford County. But, you know, one of the things I always loved about recruiting was, especially when I was at Tennessee, Larry, was that you get out of the cities. You get out of Memphis, you get out of Knoxville, you get out of Chattanooga, you get out of Nashville. That's where you really see the true fans, and almost every one of those fans, their high school program, you go to the, I'll just mention a few city towns, but you can make it plug in your own town. The Gallatins, Savannahs, Munfords, the Milans. You get in those little towns, high school football was where it was. And on a Friday night, you were at a ball game somewhere, either on the road or at home. And as I mentioned, it's a lifeblood of recruiting because most of these young men in most states, but especially this state, most of them in those smaller towns, they grow up wanting to play at the University of Tennessee, hoping they could have an opportunity to do that.
Let's bring in Matthew Gillespie of the TSSAA as they're getting set for the three games today. And we'll start there, Matthew, because you look down this list of places, you know, Tiptonville. Yesterday, I think the whole community of Tiptonville was here. Alcoa, you look at today's schedule, you got Elizabethton is here. Maryville, of course, you know, it's just a normal thing for them to be here. But it means something to these communities.
Oh, absolutely it does. It's, and just what Coach Matthews just touched on, I mean, it's on a Friday night. That's where you are in those communities. And it's, and I think everybody in those communities ends up here in Cookeville if they get here, if they're fortunate enough to get here. And they, you really see those crowds turn out. A lot of times people think, well, the 6A crowd is going to be the biggest one or whatever. A lot of times that's not the case. You get the entire community of some of these smaller schools, and it will outdraw some of the bigger schools' crowds. So it's exciting to see the differences over 9 games in 3 days, what the crowds look like, and certainly weather helps out. But a lot of times people are coming regardless of what the weather is. Their team's playing, they're going to be here.
How important is high school football to the lifeline of communities, but also to the development of young people?
Well, I think certainly the second part of what you touched on is the most important. I think what we try to stress is participation in educational-based athletics is so important. And we've seen so many studies, whether it's from an academic standpoint, keeping students involved in something other than, you know, when they're outside of the school hours, you're doing something still involved with the school where you could be doing something else, whether it's good or bad, but it's still got them involved in educational-based athletics. And for them, you know, they grow not only physically but just emotionally and mentally, and it creates a lot of good relationships. A lot of times you see these coaches are father figures to a lot of these student-athletes where they may not have one at home. So that's an important aspect to a lot of people's lives as they're going through those teenage years. And so we certainly, I think it doesn't matter whether you're winning state titles or playing just one sport, we just try to stress the participation in athletics is certainly important. And we've seen those numbers increase over the years.
Matthew Gillespie with us at Wilson Bank. Championship Saturday continues from Cookeville. How much work has gone on at the TSSAA level and also at the national level to work on the concerns about safety in football?
That's big, and I think it, and it's, you see a little bit of a trickle-down effect. If you're talking about, let's just, concussions, obviously, something that's on a lot of people's mind. You know, you see the NFL and their involvement in the NCAA. Well, the National Federation, which TSSAA and the 50 other states and District of Columbia are all a member of, they're sitting at the same table with those organizations. They're sitting with the NFL leaders and the medical experts who they meet with in developing policies. And it's just as important, if not more important, to address that at this age level because there's so many more games, there's so many more student athletes, so the numbers as a whole can be higher when you see stuff like that. So it's and brain development at the age level they're participating at, it can be affected a whole lot more than somebody who's participating in college or NFL. So it's as important, if not more important, to address those issues. And I think they've done as good of a job as you would expect. Obviously, more can be done. There always can be more that can be done.
Let's talk a little bit about how the TSSAA chooses sites for their state championships. This has moved all around. I'm probably going to miss some place. Been in Chattanooga, been in Murfreesboro. I'm talking about all the sports.
Sure.
Football was in Nashville for so many years.
Yep.
The old Clinic Bowl kind of led into this back before it all. Talk a little bit, though. One of the things that I see, Larry mentioned some of those towns around the state. What's happened here in Cookeville with the state football championship? I kind of look at it kind of like Omaha, Nebraska does with the college World Series. This city wanted it. They've done a phenomenal job with it, just opening up all the doors and anything you need here. And it's become, I don't know how many years it's been here now, but it's become kind of the identity of Cookeville. Talk a little bit, how does the TSSAA decide, because this is under your purview,
sure,
what sites, where sites go, what's the length of contract, what goes into it? Give me about 2 minutes on that.
Yeah, and it's changed over the years, but where we're at now, and our Board of Control, which is one of our governing bodies, which is administrators at member schools, is ultimately the ones who make that decision. We have a bid process now with our big championships. we try to keep it on a four-year cycle in line with where classification is. So right now we're in year three of a four-year cycle, so this contract will go through next year. We will receive bids and have it out for bid to any city or organization or chamber of commerce, universities are involved. For football, for example, we'll just use that since that's what we're talking about. And we'll accept those bids, we'll do site visits, review things like that, and the board will vote on that ultimately. So, but the great thing about Cookeville is year one, we see the same welcome that we got today that we did in year one. It was that the people here and the volunteers are just so good and welcoming, the fans and the teams, it's just such a good experience. So that hadn't changed from year one to now, and that's one of the, I think, one of the most noticeable things.
I could ask this a lot. How do you decide, because I know it's changed from year to year, what teams play what days? I think right now the private schools all play, the six teams playing in that all play on Thursday. Correct. And then just to explain
that. Well, they did this year. Actually, a few years ago, we started rotating it. So we've always had 1-3, since we've had six classes, 1-3 and 5 in Division One are together, 2-4 and 6 are together. And then Division Two is always on the same day. Division Two was always on Thursday for many, many years because they don't play the weekend before. So they've got the longest wait. It made natural sense that, hey, they've been sitting, they've been waiting, let's give the other schools a couple more days of preparation. So that was there in place for a long time. Then the Division II schools, in talking with our board, wanted to start moving it. And the idea was, well, our parents every single year are the ones that have to take a day off. It's guaranteed they've got to take that day off. So now the way we rotated it, they had a Friday, they had a Saturday. Now it's back to the way it always has been this year. It'll rotate again next year. That could change after the classification cycle. It could stay the same, but that'll yet to be seen.
Matthew Gillespie with us. Wilson Banks Championship Saturday from Cookeville. You brought up the C word, classification. I don't want you to step in the snake hole, but lay out for us the process, because it's been talked about in recent weeks of maybe reducing the number of football classifications or maybe even going up in basketball, baseball, softball. How does the process work?
Sure, yeah, that's, again, going back to our board of control, and they're elected by member schools in their areas. So that's the voice for those member schools in that area. They have a board representative, very similar to the way the legislature works, things like that. So those board members are hearing the concerns and ideas from their constituents who are administrators at other schools, and they pass that on to them saying, well, you know, we'd really like to see 4 in basketball, baseball, and softball, or we need to stay where we are in football, or we got too many in football, whatever it may be. So the board will come. Any member school can submit a proposal. So they don't have to be on the board. Any of the 400-plus member schools can submit a proposal. So we could get a proposal from a Munford, from a Pickett County, whoever it may be, that says we want to see 6 classes in basketball. Well, that'll be on the board agenda to vote on that and discuss it. Our job as a staff is to present the board with, here's what that's going to look like. Here's where the schools, where the breaks will come. Here's who would be in 6A and 5A and 4A. Then the board would in turn look at districts and regions and the makeups of that. But there's a lot of other factors that go into it too. Can you still bring 8 teams to the state tournament in basketball, baseball, softball, whatever, if you go to 4 classes, 5 classes? I don't know. That's a logistical problem that us as a staff would have to address in regards to scheduling, time-wise, the cost of renting out the facility, things like that. So if you want to increase, you may have to decrease, not necessarily taking the games away, but maybe they would be back in the local areas. That quarterfinal round may be closer to your hometown and not at the central site.
And one of the logistical things that a lot of times you don't think about, and it particularly affects an area like the Upper Cumberland, is that when you start changing the classifications, then how much are teams having to travel for region games?
Sure. Yeah.
You
know,
do you put an Upper Cumberland team in a Middle Tennessee conference? Do you put them in an East Tennessee conference?
Yeah, and I think what you would see, the trickle down effect, and it's just a matter of the beholder, what is more important. More classifications obviously gives more schools an opportunity to advance further in the postseason. But during the regular season, more classifications, you're spread out more thin, so you do have more travel. You've got more travel in the early rounds of the postseason. So is the regular season schedule and keeping the fewer classifications, obviously you're probably staying closer to home. That's not for everybody. We all know the geographic layout of Tennessee. It's a
long distance.
Yeah, very long distance. So it's it can affect, you know, there's schools in Williamson County, Rutherford County. It's never going to affect them because they're all 6A or all at the largest class. They're going to be where they are. But when you start bouncing from 2A to 3A or 1A and here's the makeup and it's different, that you can certainly see a pretty big effect on that.
Let's just stick with football on this part of it. What would be, from a statewide perspective for the TSSAA, what would be the biggest problem, obstacle, or if you want to look at it the other way, the biggest opportunity? Where are there, or are there any major problems right now from a statewide perspective? We've had the private school, public school thing for years. That seems to be working well now.
Sure.
Outside looking in. Is there one thing or two that you all are really, again, concerned or really working on now, or is everything going pretty smoothly?
I think everything's going smooth, and the most important part for us is the feedback from the member schools. We're just at the mercy of those schools, and what they decide is what, as a staff, we implement. But I think one thing, if you look at the financial reports of football the past couple of years, it has gone down. Now, obviously, a bad Friday night on week one, weather-wise, can affect everybody across the state. You can't do anything about that. But when you look at, and we've seen all kinds of studies and numbers, I think it was last year or the year before, first-round games, when you're matching ones versus fours and that many classifications, I can't remember what it was, but like 60% or more of those games were mercy rule clock games in the first game. So are fans going to want to go and see a blowout in the first round because you've got that many schools, that many more that are doing it? And I think the numbers are showing that not necessarily they do. Now, obviously numbers increase as you get forward, further rounds, and it gets more important, things like that. But it could be an anomaly, but we have noticed that.
I think we see in all sports that attendance now is an issue.
Yes.
I mean, the willingness to come out and see games. And so, you know, just like this, you know, a university playing a school that you know you're going to beat by 35, is there a willingness to go out and see that?
Well, that's a good point. And, you know, people are people and humans are humans. And I think when you get used to, and you make it easy, if you want to sit home, you can watch ball games and
sure.
Watch the replays on things. Speaking of replays. Bill Marbus is going to be on with us a little bit later in the show. Bill will be talking from the officiating standpoint. But hit one thing on this, because I know a lot of officials. There's a big need for officials. Forget about high school. From all the way up, from flag football to all the way up middle schools. This is just my opinion on it. If you want to give it, fine. I wish fans would... And I catch myself doing this too, you know, complaining. This isn't college football. This isn't pro football. These guys are, I don't know what they're making, $50 a game maybe. Maybe not that much for some things. But if someone out there is interested in becoming an official, really of any sport, referee, baseball, whatever, umpire, what's the TSSAA, what can they do about that?
It's pretty easy. They just go to our website, TSSAA.org. There's an officials tab on there. It walks them through everything. They can register online. They've got to take a simple test, you know, depending on whatever sport they do. The fees are different. If you register for multiple sports, you get a break, things like that. But we need officials. You hit on that bigger than anything, and I think you touched on the exact reason why a lot of them are leaving. It's because of the parents and the fans.
Well,
it really is.
I'm a little older myself, but one thing that I notice in high school ball is there are a lot of older officials out there. Great they're there, but we need some youth coming in there, don't we? And I was watching one of the state high school games this week, and the officials came in. One official I know had not shaved yet. He probably had, but what's the youngest? Is there an age, top limit, but lower limit, age limit?
Oh, we've got a program where students can actually be officials. Now, they're not going to work a high school varsity game, but they can go and they can be under the tutelage of another referee who's been doing it a while. They may get a middle school JV game, something like that. But to get them started, and so they can start, I think the minimum age is 16, and we can get them started.
I was in an eighth grade tournament at Overbrook last night, and one interesting thing to me, TSSAA officials were working those games. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were, you know, and did an excellent job, by the way, and a little, you know, they were mid-30s probably. So you sure. can, if you, it's a good way to get a little money, is stay involved in the sport.
The Upper Cumberland
and that's
High
neat.
School
and,
star.
We do, folks. If you if you have any interest at all,
get off the couch and quit complaining. Do it yourself. Right?
My good buddy Don Meyer, Lipscomb coach, used to say, you know, it takes three things to play a game. You got to have players, you got to have coaches, and you got to have officials.
Right.
So
need all three.
Matthew Gillespie with us from the TSSAA Wilson Banks Championship Saturday continues from Cookeville. The football thing takes center stage, but for example, today. Your boss is in Murfreesboro for the cheerleading championships. I mean, this just it just goes and goes and goes.
It's a big cycle. It starts in the fall with us. I oversee golf. We have 3 weeks of golf championships, and those are in McMinnville right now. And then we go into girls soccer and volleyball. And those championships, of course, football and basketball get a lot of attention, and rightfully so. There's a lot of interest in those sports. But the bowling championships, the volleyball championships are just as important to those kids and their families as the football championships are to the kids on the field out here today in the past couple of days. So we've got 17 sanctioned sports, and it cranks up in the fall. And we get a little breather here after football's done. But then when we get going in late January all the way through basketball, it's pretty busy.
How important is it to the staff to create that same kind of championship atmosphere that will be on the field over at Tucker Stadium here in about an hour and a half? For the cheerleaders, for the volleyball team,
I think you nailed it. It's extremely important. We treat those championships. We put as much effort and planning into that. Now, obviously, you've got different settings and facilities and things like that, so it may not get all the hoopla that football does. You don't have a video board going at the soccer championships, but those soccer championships are as important to those girls or boys. And Spring Fling's a huge event for us, and you know, you see. We try to make that as big of an event as well, and we try our best throughout the year to treat each one equally.
You know, I think that's interesting, and Doug brought up the whole idea of moving these events around and how you do that, but it feels like Murfreesboro does a phenomenal job with Spring Fling. Chattanooga works with that, and so, you know, kind of having these things in different places, I would imagine that helps you.
Yeah, I think so. It gives you different communities and areas get to see those championships. It's close to their area. And again, going back to the geography of Tennessee, it would be difficult. Not to say it couldn't happen, and it hadn't happened before. We had Spring Fling in Memphis for 3 years at one point. Well, that put a strain on people from Knoxville and Johnson City and things like that. If you move something to a Johnson City, well, now you're Memphis teams. So you see a lot of things stay in the 615-931 area code. Chattanooga is the ones who started Spring Fling, so it was there for 9 years. But most of our stuff is within the Middle Tennessee area, and a lot of that is based on, well, one, facilities, but two, the geography and trying to keep it as fair travel-wise for as equal as you can make it.
Larry, I think you and I might be able to officiate the bowling part of it.
You think so?
Yeah, you can have the line. You know, your toe can't go over that line.
I took bowling in college.
So, yeah. What'd you make?
And we'll talk about that later. Thanks for coming by.
Guys, thank you so much for having us, and thanks for all you guys do for high school sports and just the coverage and attention you bring to it, and that's important. And, you know, if I could close with one thing, it's to reiterate just the importance of participation in educational-based athletics for student-athletes. We want kids out there doing something, and we need officials. I mean, we really do. That's been a campaign we've really – and it's not just in Tennessee. It's nationwide,
yep.
And it's been something we've been really trying to push the past 3 or 4 years. A lot of the young ones leave. They're like, this isn't worth it to me. Or if they're really, really good, they move on up to college where they're going to get paid a lot more, whereas the high schools can't afford – to write a $500 check for sure. For a basketball game. So to keep them involved, and that's a good way for former athletes to stay involved in athletics, is by officiating that sport maybe they participated in high school.
Matthew Gillespie with the TSSAA as they get set for day 3 of the TSSAA football championships in the state of Tennessee. More to come. Wilson's Banks Championship Saturday continues. Wilson Banks Championship Saturday continues from the Wilson Bank location in Cookeville as Cookeville gets ready for day three of the Blue Cross Bowl. Meigs County and Peabody, the next game on the agenda, the 2A game. That one will kick off just after 11 o'clock.
And if you're expecting to hear Tony Barnhart on, he'll be on next hour. As Larry mentioned, we are in Cookeville, Tennessee. Wilson Bank and Trust, I'm surrounded by CEOs. Larry's the CEO of Stonecom. Stonecom, who's that named after, by the way?
Somebody.
John McDearman joins us with Wilson Bank and Trust, someone I've got to know over the years. You kind of at home here.
That's exactly right. Cookeville.
Went to school here
at TTU.
At Tech.
For sure.
If I remember correctly, 8 counties, 28 different.
9, we're moving. We're growing fast.
9?
About that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. And number 10 coming up down the road somewhere?
I'm sure.
30-plus years. Anyway, let's get into just a little bit, though. We're here at the Wilson Bank location here off Jefferson Street. And one thing that I've loved about Wilson Bank is this. A lot of people talk about community banks. You all surely are. But the other part of it is when you talk about the community, you're extremely involved in schools and, as importantly, involved in athletic. I know youth sponsorships of sports, things
sure.
like that. Reason for that goes back to your founding, doesn't it?
It does. You know, we just feel like that education is the foundation, right, in all these markets. And so, you know, you see us on – you know, school boards, right, is a big thing that we do, and it's great branding, but so much deeper than that. And not only the high schools, but the middle schools, elementary schools, it starts with learning and education for saving, and it's been great.
John, tell me this, because we hear a lot about community banks. Yeah. Seems like everybody is a community bank. Citibank says they're a community bank.
That's right.
A little bit of a joke there. But let's talk about that, the importance of that. Now, you know, Larry is much the same way in his radio stations up here. It's a community, many communities in the upper Cumberland, but the importance of that and how you all really reach out. Your business model is about the communities that you're in.
Absolutely. And people. I mean, I think you all would all agree we're sitting here. It's a people business. It is truly about relationships. And we think no matter what age demographic you're in, that even the young folks, they want to know somebody that if it's banking especially, if there's some sort of issue they run into, they want to know they can call, you know, John or Larry or Doug or somebody.
I have thought this for years. I'll just speak for myself. I grew up in a small high school, our high school, middle school, elementary school was almost in the same building. One of the things, though, that education, higher and lower education, middle school education, high school, they really don't teach about banking. You know, I didn't have a whole lot of money, but I didn't know how to write a check. I didn't know how to balance my checkbook. Of course, we weren't on the internet back then. So that's one thing that I wish schools would do a better job of is the things that, you know, that's pretty darn important.
That's the blocking and tackling, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And coming into your office and, you know, I think so many of us in our 20s thinking about walking into a bank and asking for a loan. And, you know, what is that process like? Because none of us know.
It's intimidating. And it can be intimidating. And that's one of the things I would tell you with our other programs, especially I think about the elementary school program, to where it teaches kids to save. We actually have our employees that go to the schools, take deposits, and learn. And you would be surprised how many people come later on to us for a loan. Or there's one story of a young girl who saved enough to buy her first car that way. And so you also see it going reverse in a lot of these schools, and depending on what areas they're in, they're teaching their parents about saving from what they've learned through us.
What is the value of your involvement in the Wilson County Fair, your involvement in events like this, your involvement in Christmas parades and those sorts of things? Why is that important?
Well, and we, you know, in today's environment, you talk everything about what's your return on investment, right? And so there's so many of those things that honestly you can't calculate, but you know, by giving of your heart and having people that are going there to make a difference in the lives of others, that's what people notice. That's what makes a difference.
Appreciate it being here.
We're glad to be here.
You got
so
your whole crew here. I told John this before. I talked to him a couple of years ago about advertising on the shows, and one of the things I did before, I went over to one of his banks, one of their, nobody knew who it was, walking around, and friend, you know, they didn't know me from Adam.
And they didn't arrest you, which is...
They're just like, who's that guy coming to get coffee? Who's that guy keeps coming here for the coffee?
They asked me what I was doing with that satchel bag. But anyway, friendly folks. They're community people, and that's just like up here in Cookeville at all the different places. We appreciate you coming on, and thanks for being here.
Thanks very much. Coach, you too.
Great deal. Yeah, thanks.
John McDiarmid, president of Wilson Bank, here with us as we celebrate this championship Saturday in the Upper Cumberland. Three games today, Doug, Meigs County, Peabody, Elizabethton. Now, you talk about a place in this state where they take football. I was telling somebody yesterday, I drive through Elizabethton on my way back to North Carolina several times a year. Elizabethton's football facilities, you would think it's a small college.
You know, one of the things that I found out when I was recruiting this state, because even though I only had about half the state actual my area, you'd go in all other areas looking at players for whatever position I had to be coaching, everybody's area believes, just like we kind of do in our whoever we follow, that that's where football, the best football, is played. You know, they argue about, well, is it played in Middle Tennessee? Is it played in East Tennessee? Is Maryville? You know, is it old Brentwood Academy? Is it, you know, Memphis? You know, where is it on there? And listen, these people take it serious. Most of the folks in the smaller communities, for sure. Not, you know, some move into the cities, but they grew up there.
That's right.
And when you go to a ball game, and you got the coach there, and he grew up there, and his dad grew up there, and his grandfather grew up there, and his grandmother, and it's a neat deal, really is.
Elizabethton and Springfield, the 3 o'clock game this afternoon, and then Maryville and Ravenwood tonight. Before we head to a break, because you spent so many years in Knoxville, can you put into perspective the football factory that is Maryville?
Maryville, when I was there, was not only Maryville. In Blount County, you got Maryville and Alcoa.
Right. Who won a state championship yesterday.
I mean, I don't know. Gary Rankin, he was here, you know, started from right down the road here, in, you know, Carthage. I don't know how many state championships he's won up there. But it's so important there. Now, you talk about an area. I'm not sure about Alcoa. I am sure about Maryville. Maryville, if you get between Maryville and the University of Tennessee, they're going to pick Maryville every single time. Most of the coaches at Tennessee live in Blount County. Coach Fulmer lives out there, and it's a big, big, big deal there, I tell you. And you talk about a small college atmosphere. They got 120 kids out. You get people involved. That's one of the great things about high school sports and you know, band and other things. If you get the players out, that gets their families involved. If families get involved, they're part of the community, they're part of the school system, and it's very, very important to it. It really is.
All the games coming up on News Talk 94.1. A break, and we come back, talk some officiating. Wilson Bank's Championship Saturday continues. It was a big day for East Tennessee yesterday. Alcoa wins over Pearl Cone. Knoxville Central beats Summit. And then Tiptonville, that's about as west as you can get in the state of Tennessee. Lake County wins the 1A title.
I've been to Tiptonville one time. I think there might be a lake between
Real Foot Lake
and Arkansas. Of course, Bristol, we know, kind of splits the difference. But I don't know. It's good gosh. It's got to be 8 hours, including a break in between those two. We are joined now by a good buddy of mine, William Marbot, actually Bill Marbot. He's referred to in the Middle Tennessee area as the Dirt Man. We might get into that a little bit later. It's a very positive, not negative. But Bill's with us. We're going to talk a little bit about. He's the executive director of the Tennessee High School Coaches Association, Football Coaches Association. We're going to get in Coach Association.
All the coaches.
We're going to get into that and exactly what.
All he loves is football coaches.
Oh,
the other ones don't.
Is there anything else?
No.
Excuse me. And also a regional supervisor and assigning officer of high school football officials. Do you do anything about football?
Nope.
See, that's what I thought. So I'm getting close on this thing now. Anyway, let's just talk a little bit about you're here. I wanted to get into the official part of it. I mentioned it with Matthew Gillespie. You and I have talked about this for years, Bill, about how there's a declining number of people that are entering, younger people primarily, that are entering officiating. Just talk a little bit about the positives of it. If you want to get in, I know there's probably a different pay scale on all those things. That's not why you get into it. But it's a neat way to stay involved if you're a former player or just love the game. It's really a neat way to stay involved. Larry and I were talking a little bit earlier. You have to have three things to have a sporting event. You got to have players and coaches, but you also have to have officials, and you need good quality officials also.
Very true. My thinking on that, Doug, is, and you're right, it's not about the money, but what makes football, and especially appealing to me, is the camaraderie. We have the ability in our association, we cover a pretty broad area. So typically, these guys are going to, at 3:30, 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon, they're all meeting at wherever, the local fast stop, and getting in a car, and they're all driving to the game together, and it's the camaraderie. It's the getting to the game, and then I don't think I ever grew up where it's still a thrill to me to get dressed for a ball game. I'm up in years, and it's always a thrill to me to do that. But again, we probably had the same crew. I was fortunate to be in the same crew of five other guys, and for 30 years. So it was an event for us to go to and from the game.
You know, one thing I think people would find interesting, that officials have been around a while at every level. I remember in high school, you know, you get to know the officials as a player, because you run into them at two or three games, you know, and certainly in as you move up in college ball and things like that, you know these guys. And so a lot of times when you see coaches and officials talking, not that they're friends, but they're certainly acquaintances, and most coaches understand that, you know, they're doing their job out there. They're going to make some bad calls just like you do on that. But I've always found that interesting. I want to just kind of go back. I remember my senior year in high school many, many, many years ago, big ball game. I'm standing back for the opening kickoff, during the old kickoff, and the official, Bob Thomas, never forget his name, standing there, and he said, "Doug, you nervous?" I said, "I sure am." He said, "Well, boy, so am I." I said, "I threw up before the game." Now, this was the official.
Right.
So my point is, the officials get involved just like coaches and players do, because they want to put on a great performance. Also, they don't want to be part of the game, you know, talking about it. They want to officiate a good ball game.
That's exactly right, and it means the world to them to be the best that they can be for the coaches and the especially these young men, the players, I'm not going to say to please the fans, because I don't think everybody's ever in stripes as always.
You can please half of them.
Please half of them. That's right.
I was going to mention too, and one thing about a good official, will come over when they made a bad call, and they'll tell you they made a bad call. Now, you know, they may do it just by standing next to you and say, "Coach, I'm sorry, I missed that." That's what you want as a coach. And I think from an official standpoint, you want that also from a coach, that, "Hey, I'm going to coach, you're wrong on that, or you're right on that." Normally, if an official says, "I missed it," or "You missed it," that ends it most of the time.
You are exactly right. And we just had that conversation earlier today that when you go over and you know, you walk over to the coach and he's raising Cain and you say, "Coach, I just missed it."
That usually ends it.
And then he's standing there with his mouth open and say, "Well, let's get the next one right." "Well, I'll do my very best." So
I don't understand a society where we have become so fixated that officiating has to be perfect, because nothing else that happens on the football field is perfect.
Right.
The wrong blocks are made, the wrong calls are made, the coach calls a wrong play. Why does that filter all the way down?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the key issues that we have getting new officials, I think, is because of the scrutiny that's put on the people on the field that you have to be perfect. Well, I'll promise you, we're not going to be perfect.
Let me ask you this. This is going on at the collegiate level now. Southeastern Conference looked at this. Steve Shaw, who's the head of the SEC officials, looked at this last year. And I just want to get your thoughts on this. They talked about either for a college game on a Sunday or maybe a Monday, in crucial calls or calls or controversial calls, having probably the head of the officials, but having someone come up and say, you know, this is what happened on these plays. You know, this is a good, bad call, good call, whatever on that. I always thought that'd be pretty good. I think, and I understand why officials don't want to do that. But I think to have someone step up and say something like, you know, that call should not have been made, or that was the wrong call, or whatever on that. Is that something, Bill, you've been involved in officiating for many, many years, is that something you think would be a positive? Would the majority of officials go for that, or is that just kind of taboo?
I don't think it would be taboo, but I was watching the SEC game the other week, and they have down in Birmingham at the SEC headquarters, they have officials that are doing the replay, and I'm not sure what the procedure is, but the commentators can call. Matt Austin was the one that was on this. And what do you think about this call? Did the ball touch? Was it a catch? Was it not a catch? Well, that's his opinion, and he said in this case, I do not think it was a catch. Well, they go to the replay, and they ruled it a catch, and they go on. So it's with all the technology that we have now, I think that you still are going. There's still going to be room for error.
And see, I think it's a slippery slope that we, and maybe the cat, maybe the wine's out of the bottle, so to speak. But when you watch a game and we're having to slow it down and zoom in and say, if you really slow this down, you know, you can see the pieces of rubber coming out of the. What's the point? What is the point? What is it that we're trying to achieve? I don't get it.
And we have, and the scrutiny that we have is, that's a major part that young people, they don't want to they don't want to go through that and have someone hollering at them. That's just their nature. That's
sure.
The way, that's society now. But fortunately, and I want to say this very quick, we have been, in our association, we've been very fortunate over the last 2 or 3 years to have some really good, athletic, young gentlemen that have come in, and it's not like it was when I first started. We had to run the clock for a year or two, and then you might get on the field. If you have the ability to work, you're going to get out there pretty quickly the way things are now.
Will you stay with us a couple
minutes?
I'd be
more than happy to.
Let's continue as we're talking high school football, getting ready for three more championship games here today in Cookeville. Wilson Banks Championship Saturday continues. We're celebrating the coaches and players that will go for a state championship. Six of them have already been awarded in the state of Tennessee. Three more today with the 2A, 4A, and 6A championships here in Cookeville. Welcome back to Wilson Bank in Cookeville for Championship Saturdays. We talk some officiating.
You know, one thing about this championships, you know, whether you win it or whether you don't win it, but particularly if you're here and you do win one, I can tell you from 50 years ago, I was part of the team that won a national championship in junior college ball. You never, ever break that bond with those players that you played with and those coaches. To this day, I still contact my coaches. And there's just something about, I think all sports are like that. That's one of the great things about sports is you meet friends. Both my sons, the sports they played in, they have friends that'll be lifetime friends simply because they played a sport with them, and it is such a unifying factor. We see it all over the country. And Bill, I know you see that a lot also.
We see that a lot, and have to bring up Kenny Pack and his father that started our association. We've been, this association's been for 70-something years. A Pack has been involved with Mr. Pack and Kenny and his four brothers, and then it's a family thing, and the Holtz down in Fayetteville, and the Lindsays and the Roberts in Mount Pleasant, it's just a special, special way to spend a Friday afternoon.
Bill, give the sales pitch. Why should someone give of their time to become an official, despite what negatives might be there? What's it going to do for them? But maybe more importantly, what are they doing for the young people of this state?
Well, you have to see that we're out there maintaining order, I guess, if you will, as much as we can. But that's just the if you love the sport like I do, that's what you need to do.
Bill, I think something people would find interesting, because this happens at the college level. I know it has, happens at the high school level. The interaction that officials have with players, they really help players, but it's not just automatically throw a flag. They'll walk up and say, listen, son, cool, you know, you're getting close here now. Keep those hands inside. You don't want to throw flags, but keep those hands inside.
Fans may not realize that.
No, they don't see that hey, you need to calm down. You need to back off or on the sideline. You need to get ready. Hey, coach, you need to get 58. You need to get him under control before we have to do something.
And I know darn well you talk to coaches like that, because I was talked to like that a few times.
And you probably deserve it.
Coach,
you
need to get back there on the sideline. I talk to the head coach. You go back over there.
And that's the assistant coach. You don't make eye-to-eye contact with the assistant coach, but you get over there close enough to him and said, hey, buddy, you need to back up.
Point is this, though. The good officials, they don't want to throw the flag, and they'll give you a lot of leeway. But once you get to that point, okay, then we got to end this thing. And this is my 53 in the third yards right now.
That's exactly right.
So give it a chance if you love the sport.
I think you would be surprised and pleasantly surprised at how it's good exercise, obviously. And I think, like too many things, the positives outweigh the negatives tremendously to me. Just to you're in the same foxhole together. So yep. You're out there and it's just you and you build that bond and that relationship. That's you know you can go to war with them.
Bill, I was watching a game one of my grandsons was playing in when you were officiating. I want to apologize to you right now for what I said.
I've heard it before, I promise.
He didn't mean any what he said. But keep in mind, I mean, we all get excited about when our team is playing. But
That's what fans are.
Right.
The fanatical part of fans. Hey, I know probably as much about the game as most people do, and I'm up in the stands, and I get mad when they call, even though
well,
it's
sure
the right play. But anyway, that's
you don't have to like it.
That's part of it. That's exactly right.
Thanks for spending some time with us.
You're more than welcome.
Bill Marbot, the regional supervisor for officials here in Middle Tennessee. Well, we have gotten you ready, we hope, for what is ahead in terms of high school championships. Again, first kickoff of the day is just past 11 o'clock at Tucker Stadium on the Tennessee Tech campus as Meigs County takes on Peabody. Then the 4A championship, Elizabethton and Springfield. 6A tonight, Maryville and Ravenwood will take to the field. Doug, it's about time to talk some college championship Saturday.
We got the next hour all college football with Tony Barnhart. Larry Stone, thanks, my friend. Larry and I have been friends for ever since you came to Nashville, I guess 1997, whenever it was. And thanks so much. And we're going to take it from here. We'll be talking with Tony Barnhart when we come back from this top of the hour break.